True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is another Saturday in CCO land when we talk cars or trucks or vans or the problems you may be having with yours, and maybe we can get some solutions or at least find out what could be ailing before you bring it in for service to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. With us this morning, as usual, Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician, Master Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, runs the joint and a great place it is. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How is the week now? At Lloyd's.
Beautiful weather, that's what it was.
Yeah. And busy as usual. Is there a busier time of year for shops like yours?
Well, we're fortunate to stay pretty consistent, but I will tell you, typically the fair time and then the depths of February are usually a little bit softer, so you know, guys will take time off to go to the fair or take their winter vacations, and it's, you know, you can't be running 100% all the time, so when we have a few moments of pause, it gives a chance for everybody to kind of rest up and get ready to go.
If you happen to have a question about and you don't have to be a motorhead, as we like to say, or a gearhead. If you drive and you're having problems, let's hear your question. Could be any kind of a car care question, actually. You can phone it in, you can text it in, whichever is easier. One number will do it, 651-461-9226. You can ask Nick that question until... Well, just about 7:45, Nick takes his leave then to make way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So we always like to say sooner is better than later as far as asking your question. We get some unusual good questions today coming in, a bunch of them, as a matter of fact. Let's see if we can start with this one. My steering wheel has a whining or rubbing noise when turning the wheel. What could it be and what do I need to do?
Well, I suppose it depends on where the noise is coming from. It's possible it's from the steering column itself, and obviously at the base of the steering wheel where it goes through the firewall, you know, under the hood, there might be a grommet there that might be getting dry that needs a little bit of lubricating. If it's out in the steering suspension components under the vehicle, you know, we have salt and winter and all those different things that can dry out some of those components, so something might need a little grease there also. The last thing is if you're hearing a noise, it could be something's becoming worn, so that, you know, it's kind of your heads up, it's kind of squeaking at you, telling you it needs some repair or maintenance. So if you do hear a noise, you know, it doesn't make it an emergency, but you definitely want to make a note of it so the next time you're in for service, you can have someone take a look at it.
I recall in the recent past of needing to bring my vehicle in into Lloyd's because I thought it was like a power steering pump or a belt or fluid or something. And one of your technicians found out, and you got to help me with this, was it like a backer plate? Is that term right?
Well, what it is we call it a backing plate, or it's backing. a little tin shield that protects the brakes from any of that road debris. And, you know, as I mentioned before, in our climate, we tend to get some rust. And when rust gets into that metal there, it'll kind of warp or swell up, and it can get a little too close to the brake rotor. It'll rub, make that squeaky noise. So When you hear a noise, that's another good point. When you hear a noise, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a really big, expensive ordeal. It could be something as simple as that backing plate, which takes a little tweaking, pull it away from the rotor, and the noise is gone. So don't always assume I hear something. I don't want to go in and find out what it is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not that bad.
Yeah, I asked the technician, what did you do? He says, I bent it back. That was it. But it was an easy fix. So yeah, don't be worried. Plus, that's a safety feature. Come on. I'm looking at another text that just came in a bit ago. I bought a used radio on eBay for my Jeep Liberty. I installed it and now it wants a four-digit code. Help me. What is that about?
Yeah, some vehicles will have a security feature built in, and you might be able to check with the dealership. The complicated part here is that that code in that radio may be from the original vehicle. So you need to go back a few steps, check with the place where you bought the radio, see if you can get that vehicle identification number. Then you may have to reach out to the dealership, have them access that database, and see if they can help you. I'm not sure, you know, radios don't get taken or stolen like they used to, so they're a little more willingness to help you. But a lot of times you need to have proof of ownership, which on your vehicle you'll have, but on that old vehicle you won't. So it might take a little legwork, but I think if you stay persistent and you contact the right people, maybe you can get that four-digit code to get that working.
Interesting. Let's grab a couple of phone calls, Nick. John is checking in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Thank you, John. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I have a 2021 Toyota Sienna Hybrid, and I've always jumped neighbors and things like that in the wintertime, and I noticed the 12-volt battery is back by the rear lift door. Can you jump other cars with a hybrid, or how does that work?
Well, there's two separate electrical systems. There's still the 12-volt system, and you refer to the 12-volt battery, which commonly used to be under the hood. We all open the hood, and you'd see it right there behind the headlight. Well, in trying to balance the weight of vehicles and redistribute the weight of the vehicle, oftentimes they'll be hidden, you know, in the back of the vehicle, under a seat. You know, there's all kinds of places they can hide a battery these days. And as far as jump starting, I would tell you they probably advise you against it. There is still under the hood a port. They have access to the 12 volts, but I'm not sure it's really designed to run that much current through to jumpstart another vehicle. You know, you can look in your owner's manual. They might have a way to jumpstart your vehicle, which is sending some of that power in, but I'm not sure it's really designed to be sending that power back out. So I would pause. And honestly, there's a lot of like those handheld jump packs that people have these days that might be a little safer option to keep you from having a problem with your vehicle.
Interesting change in vehicles. Before we break, let's grab another call. Jack calling in from Duluth, I believe. Thank you, Jack. What is your question this morning?
Yeah, I'm here for the fair, and my question persistently is about rotating tires. I've owned several vehicles in my life, at least several. I've talked with, manufacturers the vehicle that I, you know, that I'm leasing or purchasing. It seems everyone has a different opinion about when to rotate your tires because there's so many different kinds of tires. What's a general rule for rotating your tires?
It's a good question, and you're right. Everybody has their opinion. It's a subjective question. Every other oil change isn't bad. I mentioned before I bought a brand-new truck last year, and it's got these big tires on it, so I actually rotate them every oil change because I don't want them getting worn abnormally. So it's going to really depend on the vehicle, the tire, the wear pattern. If we're seeing that they're wearing abnormally, you maybe need to do them a little more often. There's some vehicles that might go 15,000 miles, so I know I haven't done a good job of answering your question because it's just that it's subjective based on the tire, the vehicle, and the wear pattern, quite honestly.
I know we're going to break here in a moment. I'm going to pose this interesting question from a listener and give you a chance to think about it for a while during the break. But the listener sent a text, and it says this. There's been all kinds of talk about what the forest fire smoke can do to humans, but I haven't heard anything about our vehicles. What kind of damage do you think could have caused to our vehicles, if any? We'll take a break. We'll talk about that topic and get more calls and more text questions on CCO Car Care Show. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with Master Technician and the owner of Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, before we get that last question, tell folks who need the help from Lloyd's where you are located.
Absolutely. So if you're at the fair today and you head south down on Snelling, you take a left on Grand. It's about a mile and a half on the right-hand side. It's 982 Grand Avenue, right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. Stop and say hi. But we were not here over the weekend, but during the work week, we're there. It's going to be a beautiful week, so if you're out on a stroll, on a walk, stop there and say hello. If you have a question or need some advice, obviously, we're always willing to help you. You don't have to be afraid. It's a question. We can always answer it. So you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And then finally, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
And we'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. Let's hear from you if you have any kind of a car care question at 651-461-9226. Before the break, I posed that question, interesting one. I've never seen this or heard, I'm sure you do, about forest fires. They can affect humans, certainly. But could it do any kind of damage to cars? Certainly volcanoes with ash can, but what about smoke?
You know, I don't think the smoke does significant damage. Obviously, I think the cabin filter might be affected a bit. You know, you can pull that the particulates into the filter, and it can maybe have a little lasting smell or restriction with the airflow there. You know, the filter's doing its job. It's filtering the air. So once that's done its job, it's time to replace it. So I would say maybe next time you're in for service, if it's been a while, you know, a couple of years or something, or so many miles per manual, I would say I'd probably have that looked at and possibly even replaced.
What about the engine air filter element?
It's the same thing. You know, the engine air filter is under constant use anytime the engine's running, obviously, where the cabin filter is only affected while we're using the heating air conditioning system. So, you know, it's part of the maintenance interval. You probably need to inspect it when you have a service done. You know, per their recommendation, based on their inspection, you might need it replaced or you might have another oil change or two left in it. But I don't think you're going to see a significant difference in the effect that the smoke would have on either filter. I think it's, you know, part of what they go through in their regular life. So maybe it's slightly different, but nothing measurable.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, looking at another text. Good morning, Denny and Nick. Our 2016 Pilot doesn't start on the first try sometimes unless I pump the brake once. What could that be?
I think that's coincidental. I don't know. The brake obviously has there's a switch that tells the vehicle to go out of park or into gear, but the brake wouldn't have any effect. There's no direct input to starting the vehicle. So I think that might be coincidental. Obviously, if that's a little trick that kind of helps, something else was happening in there. So, you know, if you continue to have a problem, you know, you get the vehicle in, share that information, because then they can kind of go through a diagnostic procedure process, look at that information, see how it might be affecting the vehicle. But as far as I know, there's no direct connection between the brake pedal and starting the vehicle.
Now, my vehicle, you need to step on the brake to start it.
On your vehicle?
Yeah, but is that not typical?
No.
No, interesting.
No, well, no, actually, I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I'm like, on my truck, I have to also. So
let's back up a little bit.
You know, Danny, it's Saturday, and it's been a long week, and here I am trying to figure out which way's up. No, you're correct. You do have to hold the brake pedal to start the vehicle. You know, obviously, they don't want the vehicle rolling if it was not in park or, you know, obviously with the manual transmission, which there's fewer of those these days, but with an automatic transmission, which is most vehicles, you'd press the brake pedal to start the vehicle. If it were in neutral or in gear, they don't want the vehicle hopping forward or backward and hitting something or someone.
I'd like to hear the result when that listener has it serviced, if they find the answer to that. I'd be interested in hearing the result of that. All right. Here is yet another text, an Audi Q5, 164,000 miles on it. Just before coming to a stop, occasionally, not every time, instead of a smooth stop, there are subtle hesitations. What do you think that's about? Transmission?
Well, maybe. Or what if the brake rotors are a little bit warped and you're kind of slowing down and you kind of have that little settle, as he used, like, you know, because if the brake pedal or the brake rotors warp, there's an imperfection, so a little bit of a wave to it. So as that rotates with the wheel, the brake pads contact that wave, you're going to get that little sensation there. So that might be noteworthy. If it's something more significant, you know, like ABS brake cycling, you know, but I think you'd have a warning light. So if there's no warning light, I don't think there's anything with the anti-lock or traction control system. But I wonder if there's something with the braking system or even maybe a tire is a little bit all around. You're not really noticing it until the slower speeds. But whenever you notice something that's speed related, try to think what's affected by that. So as you're slowing down, I'm applying the brakes. So when I apply the brakes, the noise changes. Or if it's an acceleration where you notice a change, or while you're turning, all those little tidbits of information can be very helpful for us to try to pinpoint what's it related to. So if you have, you know, a problem like this, or really any problem, to be honest, make a note of it, take a journal when you bring the vehicle in, share all the information. It does help us find the problem a little bit quicker, which oftentimes will save you some money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The more information talked about, the better. Looking at another text that just came in a moment ago, Buenos dias, Nick, and the rest of it is in English. I have a 2011 Toyota Camry, four-cylinder automatic. The last two oil changes I've done, I've been noticing very small brass particles in the oil. The engine doesn't run or sound any different than in the past. What the heck am I dealing with here? Thanks for a great show. Wow, what do you think of that?
I wonder what metallic material. Obviously, you know, there's not actual brass in the engine. You know, some of the bearing materials are pretty slight, but I don't think you would ever see. If you were seeing bearing material in the oil, you would have something significantly wrong with the engine. You would have some, you know, some noise or poor drivability concerns. I wonder if we don't have any sludge or any carbon that's kind of building and growing, that's making its way into the oil. So while you're draining the oil, you see some of these particles. One thing you can do is take a small sample in something glass, maybe run a light through it, try to figure out what it is, maybe try to strain it, separate it, get a sample of it to try to better idea what might be. But I don't think it's actual metal. If you had metal shavings, honestly, I think you'd have much larger problems and be very audible and very poor running vehicle.
Interesting. Looking at a text, maybe you can remember this, about last week's show, we were at the fair. Big shout out and a thank you to Nick for last week's info on a Lincoln windows opening with a long hold of the remote. The owner was worried about the random mouse damage. We really appreciate the help. I'm not sure what the, do you remember that at all?
No, I don't remember much this morning. as we've learned here, I don't even know how to start my own vehicle, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I vaguely do remember, and we get that question where a lot of times people come out and their windows are down, and they're like, I didn't leave them down, and then you start to question yourself like I am this morning. But many vehicles do have a feature as you're walking to the vehicle, you can hold that lock button, and as you get to it, it'll lower the windows down, which will kind of allow that hot summer air out of the vehicle before you get in. Kind of a comfort feature. The problem, though, is if something goes wrong with the remote or the transmitter responder there, sometimes the car can get confused and put the windows down, which obviously you don't want the dead of night or in a rainstorm or something like that. So if you're noticing something strange, try you know, the different fob, get that particular key away from the vehicle, use the other key, possibly replace the battery in that fob. All these simple things we can do ourselves aren't very costly at all and might actually solve the problem. If you continue to have such a problem, you should probably get it in before we run into a situation where it's, you know, late at night, windows are down and somebody's running through your car, or if it's raining and inside the vehicle gets wet. So if you have that, I would try the remote, the battery. If not, get it in for some help.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast for the holiday weekend, see what that's like. We still have time for your car care question. All you have to do is call or text 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive, helping us out here every Saturday for so many years. And Nick, I know our listeners do appreciate that, as I do as well. We have more texts to help some folks out here. Let's get back to it. Now, if you want to call and chat with Nick, that's great too, or send a text, 651-461-9226. Is it a bad idea, texter says, to remove and or not replace a rusted out dust shield on a brake rotor on a 2005 Honda?
I think at that vintage, you're okay. Obviously, we'd like to replace them to keep things protected. But, you know, to be honest, to get that disassembled, to get the new shield in there and back together might be quite time-consuming. And if that shield has rotted away, we worry about the conditions of everything else. So you don't want to make a bigger mess for ourselves, I guess what I'm saying. And it's important, not critical. We like to keep that debris and stuff away from those shields. But we see them all the time. They get to a 20-year-old vehicle. A lot of that rust has kind of taken course and kind of made it not very very protected. And like I said, it's not a dangerous situation. It's more of to kind of keep things from getting any debris and any squeaking, that type of stuff. So I would not replace it. If you notice something going on, get it in, have someone take a look to make sure there's not something else wrong there. But likely removal will take care of any kind of noise.
All right. Good morning, Texter says. I want to buy a new smaller SUV, but I say they all come with 20-inch rims, wheels. My wife is short. Can I buy a new one and then put 18-inch wheels on that? Or will that screw everything up?
Yeah, you don't want to change the overall height of the tire. So, you know, you're like, well, if I can get an 18-inch wheel, I can get a taller tire, make up the difference. That may be true. But then you have the offset, how the depth of the wheel sits on the vehicle. Then you worry about contact with the brake components, steering components. So it's a bit of a gamble. You can check with the manufacturer. If the dealership offers a different tire and wheel package, which sometimes they do, you might be able to change that. But you can't change the height because the transmission shifting, the differential gear ratios are all kind of based off of that tire height. So if you change it, the speedometer is going to be off, the shift points in the transmission will be different, and it really shouldn't be done. So I would pause before I would do that. I would contact the dealership if you're buying a new vehicle, see if they have options, you know, for a smaller setup for you.
Yeah, very good. I mean, from what I've seen, you can find wheels that are 18-inch or 17, 18.
You can, and then like a lot of time the winter packages, you know, people on some of these vehicles will swap out to a winter tire, and they have a tire wheel set up where the wheel's a little bit smaller, the tire's a little bit bigger, but the overall size is the same, and that's really critical because you don't want to mess with the transmission and such. And like I said, the other thing is, you know, if you look at it, I think it'll fit, and you put it on, and all of a sudden it's dragging against the brake caliper or the tie rod end or something, you know, you don't want to have a problem with that either. So it's a really tricky thing to navigate. And if you don't have the right resources, you might not have much success. And then if you buy some tires and wheels and you mount them, now you own them, and you might be a lot of money into something that you can't use. So I would pause and make sure I did a lot of research.
Very good. Texter says this: how hard is it to change a seatbelt timing module? My seatbelt won't come out.
Well, it depends where it's located. If it's in the B pillar there, you know, kind of right behind the driver's door, you know, there's some plastic in the way. There might be an airbag. So I would say same thing. Read up on it. You know, do your research. If you have the right tools, a lot of times these clips might require a certain removal tool. Don't go in there forcefully and start breaking stuff because, you know, then you have a panel that won't reattach or you have something that's rattling. I understand you're trying to save some money in the replacement, but keep in mind, if you damage something, you end up having to have somebody fix it, and you have to replace some other parts they weren't counting on. So I'd be very careful. Do a lot of research. Follow the procedure, read the procedure, see what tools. Oftentimes when you look in these manuals, they'll tell you what tools are needed or if there's any specialty tools. So just read up on it. Make sure you're prepared before you dig into that, and take your time. Don't rush through it because, you know, seatbelts, we want them working properly. So
yes.
don't be in too much of a hurry.
Nick, as you know, we not only get good questions from listeners, we get good comments as well. For the caller, Texter says that had to step on the brake a couple of times to start their vehicle, commonly with push-button start. If the battery in your car is low, you will have to push the pedal a little extra to get it started before. How about that? I've never heard of that.
And I just learned you have to hold the brake pedal to start your car. So I no, I'm gonna keep picking on myself the rest of the show on that one. So you know, on that response, I don't know what depressing the brake pedal harder does. You know, if the battery's low on voltage, it's going to be low on voltage. If you're referring to the key fob, a lot of times with the key fob, it says no key found. A lot of times you hold the key closer to the push button to kind of make that better connection. You know, the transponder, responder, you put them next to each other, it'll allow it to start that way, but I don't think the brake pedal has any control over the voltage to the starter.
Interesting. We have a couple of phone calls. I don't want to leave them hanging, so let's get to it. Greg calling in from Crystal this morning. Thank you, Greg. What is your question?
Good morning, guys. I love your show. I'm not going to mention names, but I have a friend of mine who continually puts in heavier oil in his Toyota. It's like a 2014. And I've tried to tell him that that's probably not a good thing. So I thought I'd ask the professional.
Well, I would say you look in the owner's manual, and a lot of times it'll tell you a recommended oil weight, but then it'll talk about extreme use or different climates, and it might change one or two weight, you know, meaning if it called for a 0.20, it might say 5.20 or 0.16. What I don't want to see or wouldn't recommend, if it says 0.20 and you're running like 5.30, something much more of a change. And if it's one, you know, if you look in the owner's manual, they might have an option of one or two weights, one way, you know, the one way or the other, but to go a significantly different, or if you go back old, if you're old enough, you can find it like 10W40 or something like that, I definitely would not do, or a straight weight. I mean, you know, these vehicles are designed, the tolerances are very tight. So a heavier weight oil might not be able to make its way through and do as it should. That's why they evolve the oil and change it to the tolerances and the emissions and the fuel economy and all the things we have going with cars these days. So I would pause. Look at the owner's manual, as we often say, see what they recommend, see what options are. A lot of times there might be an option for one weight or another, or you know, a synthetic or something else. So just read up on it and see what your vehicle calls for, what they allow. But I probably wouldn't go anything out of that recommended area.
For sure. I think we have time for one more call. Cheryl calling in from Golden Valley. Good morning, Cheryl. What is your question?
Hi there. I have a 2013 Kia Soul that has a key start. And a few times last winter and fall, or excuse me, last winter and spring, and then just now Wednesday and Thursday mornings this week, at the first start in the morning only, I turn the key, the dashboard lights all come on as they should, but there's absolutely no sound whatsoever. I try turning it, like this time it took four or five tries, and then it starts just normally. I took it in the following morning hoping it would happen for them at the garage, but it didn't. So they still checked out and found that my battery alternator and starter voltages were fine. The starter looked good to the eye. They're suggesting maybe an ignition switch I could try or something with my key. Do you have any ideas for me?
I agree with them. These are the worst, most frustrating situations. You know, the ignition switch, the starter, the battery, all those things are commonly issues that create what you had just had. It wouldn't start. I went out there and I tried it, and finally it started to rate up normally. Bring it in the next day. It doesn't happen for them. I hate telling you this, but we see that stuff way more often than we'd like. And unfortunately, the best advice is, we got, you know, a couple things that, you know, I always talk about having a journal in the vehicle, and few people do it, but this situation is a perfect example of, if you can remember, you know, oh, it didn't start this morning, what was my last drive cycle yesterday? What you know, you mentioned it was spring, winter, and then also now it's a little bit cooler now. So how is temperature having an effect on this? You know, if they tested the battery, and it's, you know, it's not that cold, we're a weak battery, it's not to that time of the year. But now I start to wonder, maybe something with the starter, with a little change in temperature, maybe the contact points are getting warm, maybe something's, you know, it's not happy there. So unfortunately, there's not an easy button here. Really what we need to do is be able to duplicate your concern, get the car where it's not starting. And at that point, I assure you, they could put a meter on there, figure out where the voltage is and isn't going, and make a recommendation. But the best thing you can do is make notes when it happens, temperature, last drive cycle, anything that might help them try to duplicate that and pinpoint it for you. And I just hope that you're not in a hurry on the morning, it doesn't want to work for you. You know, and unfortunately, you have to be patient, and hopefully it'll act up at the right time so you can get that resolved and fixed back up.
Nick, we're out of time. I'm going to save the text questions. They're good questions until next week, and we'll open up the show with those questions. So I apologize to our listeners, but we'll open up the show with those next week. In the meantime, Nick, for those that need help from Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you're in St. Paul, you'll find us at 982 Grand Avenue. If you have a question, we'll always answer. Please call 651-228-1316. And remember to check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. Enjoy the rest of the holiday, Nick. Thanks for your help, and we'll talk 1 week from today.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.